Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for a great, great day. We praise you, Father, that tonight's going to be even more awesome. We thank you for your presence, Father. We thank you so much that you filled us with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that we are being led by your Holy Spirit as well. And we praise you, Lord, for all the work you're doing in us. We ask tonight, Lord, that you anoint us all to share what you've given us this day. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for all the healings and the deliverances that have taken place. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I just can't thank you enough for the things that you've done and the things you're fixing to do. Oh, my, if we could just only comprehend just a little taste of the anointing that's coming from you, Lord. It would be awesome. We praise you, Father, that signs and wonders are going to be among us tonight, that the gifts would be in operation. And Lord, we praise you and magnify you because you're our God. You're the God of all creation. You're the mighty one. You're our deliverer. You're our protector. You're our healer. You're our provider. You're all those things to us, Father. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being that light in us that people see and want to know what it is. And Lord, all we have to do is just follow your lead. And people's lives will be changed from now on forever. And we thank you for it. We thank you for household salvation, Lord. We have prayed the prayer of faith, and we're enduring in our faith and know that you're bringing all of our loved ones in, Lord. And we know that sometimes it doesn't make any difference what we see or what we hear. We know you're working behind the scene to bring them in, Lord. Let us not be anxious for nothing, but in today, we know you're working today, Lord, in their lives. And it makes no difference what's going on in their life. We know you're working there, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for all your promises, Father, that follow us, those that have faith to believe, and not only to believe, but to act on that belief. And Lord, we praise you for giving us that faith itself. Everything that we have is given to us from you. You've told us, and just ask me, I'll give it to you. You ask anything in my name and you shall have it, you tell us. The problem is, we don't know what to ask you a lot of times. We just don't think sometimes that you'll do some things. Lord, I have seen you do things that has just blown my little old peanut mind. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that that peanut mind is your mind. And that when I got your mind, it's a universal mind. Because it's the mind of Christ. And that's all we need. I thank you for doing whatever you're going to do tonight, Lord, in us and through us, and that your revelations will come forth in Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing, Father, on each one of us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's let Pat in here. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? There's 21 people in here, and out of 21 people, ain't nobody got no prayer request. Come on now. Lord, save these people. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. All right, Paula. Got one that's already saved. Come on, Paula. Praise God forevermore.
Hi, everyone. I've got a praise report, and then with that linked a prayer request. So we've Dirk and I's got we have a little cockatiel. Her name is Bloss. It's the Afrikaans word for blush. And she's a darling. But yeah, no, she's been with us now for 3 years. We don't have children, so it's quite a big deal in the house, this one. And we do clip her wings, but the one side has grown out a little bit, and I like leaving it so she can fly in the room. I feel it's a bit of exercise. And so yesterday, she also likes her bath with a spray bottle. The sun is shining, and I just took her outside, and I started spraying her, and she's, you know, ruffling the feathers and enjoying it. And then all of a sudden, there was a little bit of a gust of wind. And it just took this little one. Oh, she goes, over the roof. There's no way for me to, you know, grab a hold of her. And I just look at this, you know, and there she goes. She's on top of the roof, and I can't see her. And I just keep shouting her name, and then she gives this, you know, high-pitched calling back. And I didn't know what to do. I just ran around. I couldn't see anything from that side either. And I quickly ran to the landlord and landlady, and I just howled. I'm like, help. You know, Bloss is on the roof. And I still hear her shouting. And he came and he took a ladder, and he's on the roof. And he comes back. He's like, no, she's nowhere there. You know, and I'm like, oh, goodness, she has to be, you know. She's not a flyer or anything. I can't imagine her going anywhere else. And slowly but surely, we hear her screams, you know, moving in the neighborhood. And we've got a little, I don't know what you call it, but it's like a little stream. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of thick, you know, trees and bushes and things where we are here. So it's just felt... And I hear her screams, and it sounds as though it's coming from this side and then from that side. I ran to the neighbors because she went over that side. And immediately the lady, she just looked at me, you know, and it's in the middle of all this COVID things, but she just grabs me and she gives me a hug. She has two cockatiels, and she's a fanatic about them. And she can just imagine my pain and my panic and whatever, you know. She's like, no, she's going to take Russell, one of hers. She's going to put him in the garden in the cage, and he's going to call her back, you know. And he's done it before with another cockatiel, and we'll do it again. And I'm just, thank you. I need to go back and find her. And I'm up and down in the streets, and I can hear her, you know. When I call her name, I can just hear her, mom. And I can hear her going, it's getting more distant and more distant. I'm just thinking, oh, goodness, Lord, you know, where is she going? And I just started walking down a dirt path, and the devil attacked me, you know, with, you shouldn't have taken her outside. You shouldn't have done this. You should have been more careful. And it was just bombarding me. And all of a sudden, the Lord just broke through. And for me, it's a very it's actually a miracle in my life. And I just out loud, I just said, no, I forgive myself. I'm human, and I was doing something for this little bird, and it's, I forgive myself. I'm not going to take that. And he just somehow, in all this confusion and me not knowing what to do and what's going on and where she is, and there's also people walking around, all their dogs are, you know, running loose, and I'm just thinking, oh, you know, but, and they're looking at me because I'm shouting and I'm talking to myself, and, you know, it was just a bit of a scene, shouting her name, I mean, you know, calling Bloss, Bloss the whole time. And then I just said, yeah, this boldness just came over me, and I asked the Lord, I said, you know, Father, she belongs to you, and you can work in that little heart to just, wherever she is, to just not be confused and just turn back and know her way home. And I prayed that, and then I commanded. I said, in Jesus' name, Bloss, at the sound of my voice, you are going to come back home now, you know. And I shouted one more time, like, Blossie, Blossie. And I looked back, and my landlord was standing in the little felt. And I saw there was a bit of a commotion, and I walked slowly back up. I was way down now by this stage. And he just showed me, he's like, come here, come here. And I look at him like this, and he turns around and he shows me his little blow sitting on his shoulder. But I just went running, and I just got to him, and I took that little bird, and I just started crying, you know. Then the tears came. And I'm just like, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, you know. And I stoked the fool, you know, reprimanding her, and then, oh, thank you, Lord, and just crying. And this one is just sitting there, not phased at all. It was almost, I would say, 45 minutes, you know, of this going on. And she was just not phased and happy. I don't know. It was just absolutely amazing. And I mean, I'm so relieved. I can't even in words begin to, for me, it felt like I got her back from the dead. You know, it was just an amazing feeling. And I'm so thankful just for the Lord. And then I put her back, and then I went to the neighbor just to tell her that we found Blos. You know, Russell can now, he can now relax, you know. And then this lady and I started talking, you know, and this, I don't know, she just, it's like she opened her heart to me. I don't know her. It's the first time I've seen her. And a lot of, yeah, there are so many things, you know, so many hurt, but she's a believer. But I think there's a lot of darkness, you know, around her in terms of oppression and a lot of, you know, just evil spirits that I can sense. And she said to me, she's got this, you know, terrible depression. And I shared the gospel a little bit with her. You know, she being a believer, she does confess Jesus. And I'm like, you don't have to have that, you know. And she just looks at me like this. And I just, yeah, little things. I just left there with her and I shared a little bit, you know, of my testimony as well. And she was encouraged. I said to Dirk, this whole time I've never seen her smile or anything. And then at the end of when, as I walked back, you know, she was just smiling. There was something there. And she said to me, I must come take Blos, and I must take Blos for a play date. And the cockatiels are so sociable, they'll really enjoy it. And then we'll have a cup of tea, and she really wants to talk to me a little bit more. And so, yeah, my request for that is, so, and I came back home, and I listened to one of David's podcasts on spiritual warfare, and where I needed to go on, he said there, you know, that you are going to come into contact with relatives, friends, neighbors, people that need you, that's oppressed, and put on your armor and go to work. So for me, it just felt like this confirmation. And so I would just like pray for that, just for an open door. Her name is Julie. She lives alone with her mom. Her husband died when she was 32 years old. She never remarried. So it's been, she's had a tough life. Just for an open door then, just for, yeah, for special anointing for me to be able to minister to her and just mean something to her. But yeah.
Okay, why don't you pray for her, and we'll believe with you.
Okay. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for bringing little Blos back. Thank you just for everything. I cannot thank you enough. And I thank you also, Lord, that through this, that Julie's and my path crossed, and I know it's for a reason. And I just bring it to you, Lord, and I ask you to already start working in her heart and making her think about some of the things we discussed. And just prepare, Lord, just prepare for when we meet and when we talk. I'm asking you that I'll just be a vessel through whom you can just, like your word says, live and move and walk in. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that opportunity. And I'm looking forward to to another praise report. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we just break the power of Satan off of her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you that you are opening up her eyes and ears of understanding. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for this lady. Let her see the truth of the gospel for once, and let it be a joy and a peace in her heart, Lord. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you give Paula and her, every time that they talk with it, that you'll give them wisdom and the words to say that'll just brighten her whole day. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's done. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Well, I'll tell you something. I got a testimony. This is testimony time. I got a praise report and a testimony. I just want to let y'all know that last night in the fellowship, the Lord did some things that was pretty awesome. One of them was... I'm trying to think of the first. The first thing that happened was that, first thing, good testimony thing that happened. Oh, I know what it was. The Lord told me that everybody that felt like they had a ton of bricks on top of them, an oppressive spirit, if they would receive it, raise their hands, you know, and God would, deliver them from it. We prayed, and that God did. God delivered a bunch of people from this oppressive spirit. And then he gave me another one about pain. I believe it was pain. He said that, and then we went around, David went around individually, just from where we sat. We didn't get up and anoint people and all that stuff. We just pointed their fingers at somebody, and they were healed. Somebody else, and they were healed. Somebody else, and they were healed. It went all around the room, and they were all healed. And I'm just talking by faith. I know they were healed, and they were talking by faith that they were healed. So it was an awesome time last night. At the end of the fellowship is when all of that took place. So, praise God, right? And he can do it right here, too.
And I'm telling you by manifestation that I was healed.
Amen. Praise God. See that?
Last night.
Glory. Hallelujah. And you're not the only one I got that from, too. Somebody else told me that they were healed, too. So I believe everybody got healed. Right, Judy? Amen, sister. Amen. Yeah, up and down. Yes, ma'am. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We praise you for all that you did last night and all that you're going to do today. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. That's what he's doing now. He's doing these type of things. He's getting people freed up for this time ahead. Okay, Julie Tighe has her hand raised up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Julie.
I would like prayer. I've got I don't know what it is, something on my skin, on my face, and it's kind of like scabby, but it's not, you know, it's not hurting or anything, but it's, I don't know what it is. It's been there for about a week now, and it's not going away. I prayed about it, but I would like it very much if you would all pray for me in agreement for it to, my skin to be healed.
Amen. Everybody point your finger, Julie. You point your finger at her.
Now, be nice.
That's a Holy Ghost shotgun.
Okay.
Lord, we just thank you right now that as we pray that skin dries up and she doesn't have this problem anymore. In the name of Jesus, I command it by the blood of Jesus to leave her skin right now, and that she's got the skin of a baby on her face in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. We command that skin irritation or whatever it is to go from her and not come back in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, because it is done. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. He said, but thank him when it's done. Confess it that it's
done. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. My skin is flawless and most beautiful.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. You got the skin just like on a baby's new butt.
Amen. And no wrinkles.
No wrinkles. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Barbara, go ahead.
Amen. Okay. I just want to confess I got healed today, too, of an overactive bladder, and I just confess that I'm healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Also, yes, you are.
Also, I got freed up. Missy and I prayed together, and I got freed up of some things that were pressing me, and I just praise the Lord that I'm healed. I'm delivered. They have to go, and they did go. Hallelujah! I am set free.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's right, Barbara. Now you're walking it out, girl. I see it right there. You got it now. My. You are healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
My. Okay. That's a good testimony, girl. Everybody else? Yeah, Missy?
I'd like to share the testimony about what happened with my dad on Sunday. I got this email from my mom saying that my dad wasn't good. She said that they were eating lunch and and all of a sudden dad started not feeling good, and he broke out in a sweat, and he was yawning with food in his mouth, and then he just went into this deep sleep. And she called the ambulance, and she said she'll let us know when she knows something. And she did this email real quick to my brother, sister, and I. And so I just got done riding my bike, and I saw this email, and I just started giving the enemy the what for. I was like, you're not robbing my dad from being his health restored, and you're not robbing me of, you know, of what the Lord's promised me, you know, that my parents, you know, both my parents' health would be restored, and they'd be believing that they'll be alive and remain the coming Lord, and you know, that I get to hear my dad talk again. And I was just giving him what for, and people probably heard me. I was praying in the spirit, and I was just, anyway, so I sent out a text message to a bunch of people to pray, and I asked for Julie, Barbara, and Marilyn to call me. So Marilyn called me, then Julie called me, and then Barbara called a bit later, but we were all on at the same time, and by the time I got home, I was in the garage, and we were all just doing warfare, and I prayed that we commanded my dad healing, you know, no matter what it was. We commanded spirit of death off my dad, we commanded the spirit of life into him, and witchcraft, and you name it, we prayed it. All kinds of stuff. And so I you know, commanded healing, and that they wouldn't be able to find anything. They wouldn't know what was wrong with him, you know, what happened, you know, and that he would even, you know, come up, he would revive or whatever, you know, even before he got to the hospital. Anyway, so I was just like, my faith was soaring. you know, and I was walking back and forth and like jumping around, you know, in the garage, and I started singing a praise song, Our Lord God, Thou has made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. And I was singing that song, and nothing is too difficult for thee. And I was just wound up so anyway, we were all praying, and so finally we got off, and I was at peace about everything. I wasn't worried, and that was around 2 o'clock or so, or a little later than that when I first got on the phone with them, I think. So then around 5:30 or something, my mom finally called, and she said, they didn't find anything wrong with that, that he's back home and he's fine. And a little bit before or right after the ambulance came, Dad came about. He was out for about 10 minutes. And apparently, you know, they checked him out and his vitals were fine and everything. And they said, well, we should take him anyway and have him check him out at the hospital. And they didn't find anything wrong with him, you know. And so I was just like, praise you, Jesus. And I was like, I told my mom, I said, that's how we prayed. We prayed that that there was, you know, nothing wrong with him or whatever. And I talked to Dad for just a little bit. And so then I talked to him the next day, and my mom was saying, and I was talking to Dad too. And I said, we prayed that you were healed and that nothing would be wrong. And that, you know, that's what happened, you know. They wouldn't find anything. And mom, she didn't hear me say that to him. And she says, you know, you saying that there's nothing wrong with that is a good thing, and it could be a bad thing. You know, I'm like, where's she going with this? And she says, well, if they couldn't find anything wrong, it's possible there could be something wrong. And I forget what she said. Well, I said, well, we prayed that he was healed. She goes, okay, that's good. She says, then that's good that they didn't find anything wrong. You know, if you believe, if he's healed, then yeah, they're not going to find anything wrong. And so we were like, okay. But anyway, so, so that was just like, oh, I was so tickled, because that's the second time we've had a scare with my dad. A couple years ago, a little more than a couple years ago, we had a scare with him, and the doctor said that was just his blood pressure medicine was too high and it dropped his pressure down too low or something. And but anyway, so wow, Lord's good, and I know we're coming upon something here very soon, because the Lord's manifesting healings in me. I know my back is healed, and my sciatic nerve is healed, manifesting it. It feels so much better. I haven't had one of them headaches in all but 3 weeks, and I it's just I can tell my back is different. It feels good. I have strength and energy in my body, and I was having a digestive issue, and that's gone. And I'm just like, wow. I'm sleeping really good, because I know it's because the Lord finally manifested the healing in my back. And I'm just so excited about, you know.
Thank you, Lord. Missy's healed. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen forevermore. Amen.
You know, I got to thinking, you know, those headaches that I would get, I started getting them when I was a teenager, and they slowly got worse as I got older. And, you know, and when you stand on your feet and you do hair, or you sit at a manicure table, you know, and you just get a lot of, it just aggravates. It makes you get a lot of muscle tension and runs into a headache and migraine and stuff. And
don't talk yourself into another headache, Missy.
No, I'm just telling about about it. And I didn't realize how bad these headaches were until beginning of 2011. I stopped taking pain medicine and everything and trust in the Lord. And oh, wow. It's like you don't realize how often you were getting them when you stopped taking medicine, you know. But over the years, they slowly got better, you know, and that they didn't just totally put me out. Praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful. It feels so good to feel good.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Good testimony. She was a lot more excited the other day when she gave it. It's good, though. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy.
Well, you know, last week I had said that I had went to the doctor to get some blood tests, and I just knew that everything would be okay, and I got a call from them today and everything was good. So I want to praise the Lord for giving me all a good report like I knew I was going to have, and I thank him for that. And also, mm-hmm. I have a big wart on my back and on the bottom of my left foot. I've never asked prayer for them, but I've been asking the Lord to deliver me of that. Now, it doesn't really hurt, and so I just kind of forget about it, really. But I would like to have prayer for those two things, the wart on my foot.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, I speak to both of those warts, and I command them to fall off of Judy, off her shoulder, and off her foot, in Jesus' name. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you be gone from her, in Jesus' name. We bind up that virus and command it to go right now, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Leon, everybody point your finger at Judy and say, be gone, wart, from yourself, in Jesus' name, all both of you. In the name of Jesus, it's gone, Judy. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Now, thank the Lord because it's gone.
I thank you, Lord. Yep, they're gone.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a done deal, girl. Thank you, Leon, for reminding me. Go ahead, Pat.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? I had a very wonderful time. It was Sunday morning. The Lord really put his healing hand on me, and he did some deeper things than healing, I think, in me. But what I wanted to do is, I've been running around all day today, just frantic on my job and kind of overwhelmed. So I just wanted to, I when I got up that morning, I was so excited at what the Lord did. I sat down and wrote it out, and told my wife about it, and I sent an email to my brother and sent an email to Michael and whatever. It was just, the Lord just did some things. So what I wanted to do is read this testimony, if I could, because it was seemed to be so ordered at the time. And after I get through reading it, it's kind of interesting, but I think the Lord has taken me through even another section after this. It's attached to this, but anyway, I'm going to read this. On the website, the UBM website, I have a testimony on there of the Lord healing me from poison ivy, and I think this was when I first came to UBM, and I was listening to Wilderness Living. I think it was one of the first messages that I started really reciting and listening to. And this was, I think, in 2006. And the Lord took me through a process of healing me from poison ivy at that time. And this testimony is really connected to that testimony on the website. It's kind of like a part three or something like that. Because the Lord did a deeper work in this time. But anyway, I just want to read the testimony if I could. This was on Sunday morning when I woke up. So I woke up early this morning and I had to write this down. A few days ago, I started to get the symptoms of poison ivy. I rebuked it as normal in the name of Jesus and claimed his healing in the word of 1 Peter 2:24. Maybe a week before that, I woke up in the middle of the night with an incredible grace. I think I mentioned this in our last meeting. Incredible grace to pray in the Spirit for a length of time, and I don't know how long that was, in prayer. And in prayer, the words came to me, remove the basket and let your light shine. Last night, it appeared that the symptoms of poison ivy were getting worse. And I kept claiming his word, but inside, I was getting discouraged and I was feeling condemned and I was starting to get depressed. And when those things start to happen in me, I start to isolate myself. I start to pull back within myself and get really quiet and mental and start thinking and whatever. So through that process, I sat on the couch playing solitaire on my phone for a couple games, and I finally watched a useless movie. And I guess out of depression or whatever, I just decided to go to bed. And I, as I was preparing to go to bed, a very subtle frame of mind came over me. And it was like I just was thinking, you know what? I've had enough of this. I mean, what's going on? I've had enough of it. And I stopped in what I was doing and I cast my focus and attention on the Lord. And I just said, Jesus, I wish I did, but but in my current condition, I don't have the strength to overcome this as you did. I feel ashamed that I haven't already learned to overcome this attack a long time ago, but facts are facts. And the truth is, you don't do something, if you don't do something now, I'm not going to make it. And I leave it in your hands at this time. And I didn't think twice about it. I just went to bed. And this morning, I'm reading the testimony. This morning, I woke up. This was Sunday morning. And was scratching the itch on my arm. And I noticed that the bumps that from last night that were spreading over both arms. And I just have to explain for a minute that when I would catch poison ivy, it would seem to get worse and worse and worse, and then it would seem to just transfer through my body, through the nerves, and I would get, you could tell, just jittery without actually shaking, but it was like your nerves, your skin was crawling. And it would get worse. And then I would have little bumps like blisters that would, you know, pop up on my hands and on my arms and everything. And that was starting to happen when I was starting to get depressed. Well, when I woke up this morning, I was scratching and I noticed that all those little bumps were gone. And I noticed the rash that was on my arm. It had subsided down to from like maybe as wide as my hand to like maybe just a finger's width. It had reversed. And when I saw that and I felt that, I realized that the Lord had healed me. That healing took place at night when I was sleeping. And I started praising the Lord and thanking him. But the thing that was interesting, or that was really what I'm super grateful for to the Lord, was though I'm happy of the healing, it was what he did behind the scenes on that. And he said, not just I realized that I was healed, not just from this incident, but from the very susceptibility of my body to be allergic to the poison ivy. But the revelation that the Lord gave me as a result of this is what I'm most appreciative for. And he showed me that the symptoms of the disease or sickness are not a sign of his disapproval of me in some form, as I had been thinking. That subtle thought was lodged in the back of my mind, that it was connected with a certain disapproval, and he was, I guess I wasn't thinking punishing me, but correcting me and rebuking me, or however it would be. This thought always seems to come to me in the process of, and always led to a feeling of despair and depression. But the truth is, if we never got sick, we would never have the opportunity to experience God's healing. And if we never experienced the faithfulness of God to his word, we would not have the confidence in our testimony that only comes through experience. It brought me to a bit of grateful expectation and excitement with a different view on the situation. It was helpful in freeing me to speak out to those around me and praise God for his healing before the symptoms are removed. And I can't explain the sense of freeing or release or freedom or rest or peace, however you would say it, there is that it happened in my heart as a result of that. Now I can claim God's healing, proclaim it in confidence, in the midst not being undercut by the thought running through my mind in the background that I was being punished. This thought had always occurred to me while in the midst. What if I say the Lord has healed me and I don't get the healing? Then God's name will be blasphemed because of my failure. But what I was more concerned for, but was I more concerned for God's name, for how others would think, or how others would think that I was a fool? And I think the answer to me at that time was very obvious, that I was more concerned about what people would think about me. God has absolutely no concern about being able to uphold our faith and back up his word. But am I willing to go out on the limb and trust it? And the only thing I can say is I am now. I am now because I know those things that I encounter are not against me, are they're not raised up against me to punish me or to correct me, though there is usually correction in my thinking in the process, and it's always a positive thing, but they are for the ability to share God's life to others. And so I just had to thank the Lord for taking me through that process. It certainly doesn't seem as impactful as it did on that Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I got up and wrote it down and emailed it over to Michael, because it was such a powerful revelation that the Lord gave me. So I just wanted to share that and ask for prayer, because the Lord has taken me through another phase of that. It's interesting that just after that prayer on Monday, yesterday, the symptoms started coming back, and I started rebuking them again. And I woke up this morning praying in the Spirit again, and I got this picture from the Lord. It was a kind of a mental picture. And you know how President Trump, with his tweeting, he says certain things that are, shall we say, controversial, and he trolls people, like fishing people. He throws something out there and creates a big hoopla. People start going, you know, reacting and rejecting and, you know, crying and everything about what he said. But he gets people to respond to things. Well, the Lord is doing that. Is doing that very process. I can't explain it, but what it is he's taking me through a process of where these, well, you know what? I'm gonna have to stop right there, because I don't want to obliterate what I'm thinking. I'm not really clear on what he's taking me through right now, but I do ask for prayer. I do ask for wisdom and faith. I know now that even in the midst of these things that are coming to me, he's given me a faith to rest in his provision, even in the midst of the particular, like the symptoms that would come up or might come up. That rest in my heart is the very thing that gives me peace in knowing that whatever he's taking me through, it's for his good purposes. He has said it, he has created it, allowed it, and has taken it through for his reasons now. It's not that the devil is dangling a noose around my neck and pulling me and getting me to fail. Now the Lord has me in a very significant way, and he's leading me through processes that are for the purpose of others, that I'm sure they're he's teaching me things through the process, but it's really for the purpose of others. And I don't know how that's all going to work out, but it hit me, gave me a totally another view about the whole process of these even in healing and I have to say, I know that the poison ivy is gone. It's healed. It's not going to bother me again. But there are bouts of like scratching and stuff that I go through. And I know, and as I rebuke the devil for it, I think what I need is prayer in what is the Lord showing me here? What do I need to do? How do I respond in this peaceful rest with that process going on? So maybe some of you could provide a little feedback on that. But anyway, I have to praise the Lord. He has certainly destroyed the strongholds inside. So I just praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, the key, in my estimation, was when you relinquished it all to the Lord. You humbled yourself and gave it to Him, and you trusted Him from that point on. That's when you got healed right then. Because we're told in Ephesians 6 to be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. And that's what you did. I can't do it, Lord. I cannot do it. I'm giving it to you. And when you did that, that's when you got healed. That was the power of God working through you. Because Amen. God wants to fight our battles. He don't want us to fight them. He wants to fight them because He's always the winner, right? Praise Amen. God. And that's Amen. Why He always wants us. That's why He wants us to be humble all the time to Him. To Him and trust Him for everything. Praise the Lord. One thing.
Michael, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Well, that would be two questions because I just asked one. But remember the testimony? You just got that one, huh?
I got it. Finally. It took me a little while, Pat, but I got it.
Remember the testimony David gave when generally, I think he was battling a spirit of cancer or something. And the Lord took him to, was it Hezekiah that was given 15 years or I'm getting things mixed up, but
might
have been Hezekiah that asked the Lord for 15 years. The Lord gave him for 15 years. And then, David went through that same scenario, I think. And then the symptoms came back and his wife said, well, you know, that was 15 years to this point, you know, maybe you're getting ready to die. So David asked, you know, can you give me a word? And the Lord gave him a word that, you know, you shall die or whatever it was. And David did something that I'd never heard anybody do before. And that's say, no, Lord, I don't accept that because that's not according to your word. And then the Lord gave him another word and it was exactly the opposite. You shall live or whatever. So does the Lord do that with us when we have been healed? And then these symptoms come back? Or is that the way we should respond? Cast them down? Cast it
Absolutely.
Down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because it's a test of your faith. And that's what he did with you. But you acquiesced. Not acquiesced, but you won over. You overcame. You finally gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't do it. It's got to be you. And when you did that, bingo, that demon had to go.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank
yeah,
you,
that's
Lord.
What he wants us to do. He wants us to be humble to his word. Remember David? He was all King David. King David was always praising God for his victories, you know. Lord, I can't do this. It's got to be you. I know. You know, he'd go all that way. And the Lord would win the battle for him. He never lost a battle as far as I remember. Never. He had victory over all his enemies.
Amen.
Okay. Because he humbled himself. He humbled himself, except to the enemy. Oh, I love it when he came up against Goliath. Oh, my goodness gracious sakes. So that little 15, 18-year-old boy. And I said, Anna, you come to me with your sword and your spirit. I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I'm fixing to take your head off, big boy. Okay, anybody else? That's the way we got to be with the enemy. We know who's our fighter. Yeah, Leon.
I wanna give Pat a verse here. If you got your Bible, or 2 Corinthians 1:1, or 2 Corinthians 1. Let's see. We'll start in verse. well, let's just start in 1. Excuse me, 1-7. And it says, where am I at here? Okay, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Acacia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. And you, that's a word that you just used just a second ago, comfort. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So that's exactly what you were just saying. You know, maybe God's using this to teach me so I can teach others, so to speak. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. And he's talking about himself now. Whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. So even though you're suffering, even though this rash has come upon you, that's a suffering that you're going through, but you're going to be able to share with others who are experiencing some amount of tribulation. It doesn't have to be that, but they will be in some amount of tribulation, that you can show them that this is the way God comforted me. So you can be consoled or have consolation in the fact that he can comfort you as well. You know, this is what I learned, I'm teaching you, and if you can learn it too, then God can console you as well. So that's a heavy, a dynamic verse, not a heavy one, but a dynamic set of verses right there. And it applies to just what you were talking about.
Okay. Thank you, Leon. That was good. All right, Judy.
Yeah, Sue's got something. I just got a call from my grandson, Willie, and his mom has been battling a lot of things, and there's a lot of demonic influence behind it. And I would like to help us to pray in agreement that he's going to be able to minister to his mom in word and in the spirit, according to what the Lord wants him to do. He put his finger down on some scriptures, you know, like I had told him before, you know, about randomly putting, and he got some scripture as we were talking about the situation. He got a scripture in Isaiah
and he feels drawn to read it to her. So Lord, I just lift up Tanya and I, his mom, and Willie, and I just pray, Father, that you would be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish through Willie and through his mom, accomplish deliverance, that the situation that his mom has been in, that she would have deliverance, but also have a healing and anything else that you want her to be able to handle, that she can start returning back to you and live for you, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that your will be done over the situation. I know that your hand was in the situation that caused her to be delivered from this one situation, and I just pray that there would not be any soul ties with this person that she was involved with, that she would be able to just let go and turn to you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. If anybody has anything to add to it, I just see a breakthrough. I see a breakthrough through the whole situation, but it's going to be tough. And
we agree with this.
You know, amen. So Lord, whatever you can do to help this situation. And I thank you, Father, that my grandson's willing to help out and he wants to help out and bring her to where she needs to be in you, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Okay. You know, the Lord says, command ye me. So that's not what he can do. We're going to ask him to do this. We break the power of Satan on this girl in the name of Jesus and all the demonic activity that's around her. We bind you up and cast you off right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for granting repentance to her. And we ask it that, and we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send somebody over there that could lay hands on her and that she would listen to and bring her back into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that her son, I guess that's her son, right?
Really, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Lord, we just thank you that her son, you give him the wisdom and allow him to know what his power is. In you, Lord, and I thank you for it, that he can do the same thing. He can command those spirits if he knows his authority. And Father, we thank you for giving it to him in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you that this lady is completely delivered of this demonic entity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for breaking these soul ties and all the generational curses upon her right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
What's her name, Sue?
Tanya.
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 Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's wanting to help her. He's been
Is this your daughter?
Yes, that's my daughter.
Okay.
He's been wanting to help her. And he believes that I think the Lord, I think he's been hearing from the Lord at times, you know, and I think that's what he feels confident with this. When we got that scripture, he says, I will share it with her. I want to really share it with her. I want to help her. He does want to help her.
Amen. And it's done.
Amen.
What scripture did he get from Isaiah?
Well, he got Isaiah 55, and then he, with his finger, and then I forgot what verses, 12 and 13, I think, maybe. I don't know. But then he got, his eye went to Isaiah 54. And when it went to Isaiah 54, it was on, maybe that was 12 and 13. But it had to do with afflicted one. And he really felt drawn. He's, I need to read this to her. I need to read this to her. He felt drawn to read it. So. Yeah.
You say Isaiah 55, 12 and 13?
12 and 13, yeah. And then he...
You can't be any much better than that. Listen to this. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the fields shall break forth before you into singing, and all the that's the things that are in front of you, they're out the way. Singing, yeah. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hand. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But he looked on. I don't know how much more you can get than that right there. That mountain is thrown out of there.
I think what happened was, he first of all, I was talking to him about, you know, putting this, I said, remember how you put your finger down, randomly get a scripture, and I think that one was for him. And then he went over to Isaiah 54, and when he was talking to me about his mom, then he went over to Isaiah 54, and he says, I need to read this, because he was on tossed, afflicted one. I need to read this whole chapter to her, Isaiah 54, because that's where she's been. She's been afflicted. She's been bothered about all this whole situation that the Lord did. Hallelujah. He broke the ties from this person. You know, and I'm thankful for that. So I just see his hand in that whole thing. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God forevermore.
Amen.
Hey, and for anybody that doesn't recognize the verse that Michael quoted about command ye me, that's Isaiah 11:45. You can look that up. That's where it says that. Command ye me.
Amen. Thank you, Leah. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I went fishing. We caught some nice fish. Like, my son caught the biggest smallmouth. And he was real excited because it was his first big fish, you know. He just started fishing, so we all went in the boat. We all fit in the boat. And we caught quite a few fish, actually. I caught a nice one, and my son-in-law caught a nice one, too. And I suggested that we start using some surface lures, too. And we all had nice, fun fishing. But on the way up, it was a different province I was going to for fishing, and I don't have a fishing license for that province. So they said they were going to stop by the store to get a fishing license, and they didn't sell them there. And plus, we went to the next place, and there was none there either. And then, because they speak French in Quebec, eh? So they had like broken language, English and French, and then they would send us to another place. We went to a hardware store, and they, finally, I just said to the Lord, Lord, how long do you want this to keep going on? You know that this was something that was bothering me, and I have to honor all men. Love the brethren, fear God, and honor the King, and bless what it says in Romans 13 about doing something like this that has to be done, you know. And I got a single day's fishing license at the right after that prayer at the last place we went to, and my son got one too. So I guess that was a good example for him, and I guess that's why we caught fish too. So praise God. First, like in a boat fishing time. Oh, and someone almost swamped our boat because there was quite a bit of weight in the boat, but we managed to get through and we bailed out on our way back because a big boat went by and made big waves. And this was only like a 10-foot rowboat. And, well, you know, some of us are pretty big guys, so... Let's just say, I think we were way over the boat weight limit, but we went all over the place and caught stuff, and we were happy. So the Lord gave me a really nice Father's Day.
They have one day license up there?
Well, you know, it's not like I'm going to go to Quebec. I live in Ontario. I'm not going to have a fishing free, so you can get for $20, you can get a one day's license. That's if you're a Canadian. I don't know if it's an American. You might have to pay a little more for that. You know, they just love their money, you know. So I bought a case of beer for some of those people who work in the fishing industry, you know. Well, they get paid by these licenses. That's what I said, you know. Well, someone got a net case of beer for this. Anyway, well, that was just a joke anyway, so.
I'm trying to look, see if we have a one-day license. They do. It's $6.50 for a one-day license. My goodness. I get one free.
Is that because you're a certain age?
Andrew.
You might be having a
don't free. Go there. Don't go there.
Well, you know, it's under 15, too. A certain age here in Canada, you know, it's kind of nice because grandpas can go with their grandsons fishing for free. No fishing license needed. But you got to
They give us a lifetime fishing license at 70, I think it is. And that's what I have. Fishing and hunting, as a matter of fact. That's why I can get all the roadkill I want to without a license. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I have another neat little testimony about something that the Lord did for me. It was kind of cool. I was sitting in, was that yesterday or the day before? I can't remember now. Anyway, I was sitting in on swing on the deck, just swinging and praying in spirit. And the Lord impressed me to pray in the spirit. I imagined in my mind, you know, on different families and couples and everything, you know. The Lord, the angels pouring their anointing oil on them and the Lord being there, you know, in their midst, you know. And so I was sitting on the swing, I was praying in the spirit. And I opened up my eyes and I looked down in the woods. There's a wood pile and a grass pile there just off the edge of our, right around the edge of our property. But anyway, there was a turkey coming up out of the woods. And I was like, I'm like watching her and I'm like, you know, she's all by herself. And then this thought came into my head. I wonder if she has any babies, you know? And I just watched her a little bit and then I closed my eyes and I was praying some more. And then I opened my eyes and here she's coming up in the yard a little bit. And here, then I see she has four little babies. And I'm like, awesome, Lord. And what came to me right away was he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I know the Lord gets a charge out of doing stuff like that for me because he knows how much I love seeing his creation and baby animals and everything. And I was just praising and thanking the Lord over that. And I took a little video of it. And so that was cool. I never seen baby turkeys before. They were only like maybe 5 inches long. They were pretty tiny. You could barely see them in the grass, you know? And then later, I was watching and then she went back in the woods and then she, later I heard her just, and I saw her kind of the tail end of her flying off. And the neighbor's dog likes to chase the turkeys. His name is Thurman. He's a really sweet dog. But so I thought, oh no, Lord, where did her babies go? Because I don't think they definitely weren't capable of flying. So then later I saw her in the clearing there where I saw her fly from. And I know she was looking for babies, and I heard her cluck now and then, you know. And I saw Thurman at the neighbor's shed, and he was looking. I knew he was getting ready to chase her again. And I said, Thurman, I said, no, don't you chase her. I said, you leave her alone. I said, go away. And he listened to me. He knew what I was talking about. And I just prayed that she found her babies, because I know she was looking for them for a while. She'd be in and out of the woods and into the clearing and everything. So I'm just believing that she found her babies. So, but thank you, Lord, for that little treat.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I've seen the same thing going across, one of those roads back there where Brandy and all of them used to live in those trailers. What's the name of that road?
White Road or something like that?
No, not that one. The one that goes to that road. One that goes Griffith down to Sandy's.
Griffith Branch Road.
One day we were going on, going to Sandy's, and this first the gobbler came out, and then the mama, and then about a half a dozen little ones came out. She wasn't a bit, you know, I slowed down and stopped and watched them. She just waited until they all got across the road, and then she kind of scurried off with them. They wasn't in a big hurry. It's really neat. That's the first time I've seen that as well. Because in Arkansas, they're very skittish for a reason. People like them. They eat them. They don't get a chance if they do something like that in Arkansas. But here in Tennessee, apparently they don't hunt them as hard as they did in other places. Okay, well, praise God for God's creation, Missy. That's good. All right, anybody else? Joe Britt, y'all got turkeys down there or just camels? He don't know how to reply to that one.
Oh, you get lots of them, yeah. They're not in the street, but more usually in the farms. Not usually,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. Quite a lot, yeah.
Okay. Are they wild there? They grow in the wild?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. They're good eating, too.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. I was reading the word today, and I came across a scripture. Then I came across another scripture. The scripture that I came across that interests me, that the Lord wanted me to just look at and just study a little bit. And it's a very simple scripture, and I want to get y'all's take on it. And that's Mark chapter 9. I believe it's, well, let me dog. I didn't write the verse down. I think it's 35. And it's the latter part of that. If any man would be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, what does that mean to y'all? If any man would be first, I can read the whole thing, I think.
What verse is it, Michael?
Just a minute and I find out. I think it's 35.
No, it's 35, Michael.
Mark chapter 9. Yeah, Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Now it starts out, and he sat down and called the 12, and he saith unto them, this is Jesus talking. He said, if any man would be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Can anybody give me
which they believe it means. We just actually got through talking about it a little bit with Patrick's testimony. If any man would be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Yeah. Who had it, Marilyn or Leon?
Let Marilyn go.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I was just going to say the one that is greatest in the kingdom, you know, the one that would be first is the one that is humble and lowly and willing to serve others. Putting others before you're going to be last if you're putting others before yourself, and willing to lay down your life for the brothers and the sisters around you. That's all.
You're muted, Michael.
Technology. Thank you, Lord. Oh, go ahead, Leah.
Well, basically, I was going to say the same thing that she just said. If you want to be number one or first, then you have to make yourself to be the last and the servant of all. You have to, as she said, humble yourself and be a servant, you don't want to be a considered a leader per se. You want to be considered a servant of somebody that serves the people. So, you know, it's the humility thing that she was just talking about. So.
Technology. Yeah, that's exactly right. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, there's those verses there where Jesus takes the towel and goes to all the disciples and starts washing their feet, and he said that he served them. And, you know, he had a little altercation there with Peter, who wanted him to also wash his hands and his face too or something. So there was a meaning there too. But I just have a question on this question. Is there a verse somewhere in the scriptures that says you should also count everyone better than yourself? I don't know really how the verse goes. But I think there's a verse somewhere like that that has those words in them.
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
It's esteem others better than yourself. I don't know where it is, but that's what it says. Esteem others better than yourself.
Amen. Amen. And then brings to mind 1 Peter 5 and 5, 5b. Yes, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I thought of that verse even when Patrick was talking about giving it to the Lord, humbling himself and said, I can't do it, Lord, you got to do it. He humbled himself and God did it because of his grace. He gives grace to the humble. So that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to be servant of all, washing people's feet, that kind of thing, you know, spiritually speaking. Anybody got, yeah, Andrew.
I don't know if this would be a related verse, but It says if you hang around a prophet, you get a prophet's reward, or if you hang around a righteous man, again, I'm not doing verbatim here, you get a righteous man's reward. And even if you, anyone give you give a cup of cold water, you'll be rewarded for it. And that's kind of like a servant, but you're recognizing that these people are righteous, and that some of them are even in a high area of righteousness too. So that is part of your service too, you know.
Amen.
So that's why you want to hang around the prophet, you know? Wherever he is.
Amen. Ministry of helps, servant of help. Yeah, Leah. I'm surprised Sue's not singing the song yet. Marilyn brought it up just a minute ago. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. And I'll stop there.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Lord. You got to get you a ukulele or a banjo or something like that. Amen. Yeah, Paula.
Just the other day, I can't remember what I've been reading, whatever, but the Lord just, I feel he brought to my mind that in terms of women and our role and needing to be subject to the man, it just almost felt to me as if though he said that we're in a special position to really embrace that, the servanthood. And that if we just look at it from a right perspective, you know, there won't be rebellion against it. There won't be, you know, feelings of, you know, we now under whatever. It's something I think if a woman really, I don't know, understand it, then because the Lord wired us very differently, you know, it's almost as though women is naturally more unselfish, if I can put it that way, you know, and more of a serving nature because she's a mom and she needs to take care of the household. And, you know, a lot of her things are being put on the back burner and she's, you know, serving others first, you know. And so I was just thinking about that we, with the natural wiring that he did, we can really use it to our advantage and thank him for that. I don't know. I just thought about that.
Well, look, I got it right here in front of me. Can I read it? I'll read that from it. It's from the word women in authority. Because someone is a servant to another does not make them less valuable or important. On the contrary, Jesus said, this is in red, y'all, the greatest among you shall be your servant. In Matthew 23:11, and then Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And the Hebrew words for help meet actually mean the helper answering to him. This qualifies the woman to be the servant Jesus wanted. Who could be the greatest among us? Amen. To be great, we must obey even the least commandment. And that's what David was talking about. And he quotes Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on and talks about submission and not teaching and all that stuff, which is actually an attribute of a woman. The natural attributes of a woman. Yeah, Andrew.
So what it almost sounds like here, from what everyone was saying, is this servant attitude is contagious among us.
Okay, yeah.
Once one person serves and speaks of this type of service, what would that mean to the spouse now? Does not he also want to serve? You know, and I was just thinking that. But on the point of one of those least commandments, you know, I remember reading that once, and you can get really mixed up with that, because then you're sort of thinking, well, what can I get away with? But I think those least commandments have to do with something like, there are 12 apostles, but we know there's more, okay? So it's not something that's really radical that I think they're talking about there, you know. So it's not something that has to do with behavior, for instance. I think it's just maybe just a little mistake. Like most people think there's only 12 apostles, but we know there's more than 12 in the scriptures. So,
amen. I had a bunch of them. I saw them today too. I don't care what anybody says. There's some more some today. Amen. All right, that was good. Anything else on servant? Being a servant, being humble, being, you know, taking an attitude of humbleness and humility before God with people, you know. I'll tell you, when you read that and you think about it, you know, made me reflect on what my job is, and it should make everybody reflect on what your job is in the kingdom of God. And our job, actually, as he just got through telling us, is to serve, right? Is to help our fellow brothers and sisters come into the kingdom and grow up in the kingdom. At whatever stage we are at. Hi, Dave. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
There's another good one in the chat. And of course, you know, that this service has to do with fellowship. And I think a while back we were talking about the verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 on how Paul became to the weak and to the Jew as a Jew, and to the one who was without law as without law, and to the one in law as in law. So there's a fellowship there that you have to do even when you go amongst the worldly people, you know. So you almost have to become like them to have an opening fellowship, you know. And you know, most of the time they actually know you're Christian anyway when you're at work or wherever. So you know, you've got to really humble yourself somehow to get to that place where you can even say maybe one or two words to him or them, and that's about it. So it's rough sailing in those waters when you have to fellowship that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul was trying to be like week to the week and be a Jew to a Jew, you know. And you think of James chapter 3 there, that shit you're going through and that tongue of yours, what can you possibly say for this guy to be a little bit open or something, you know? Is the Lord going to open a door here for you? That's what I was thinking about humbling that to the lost, even. So there's that too. You know, I always wonder about that, because you know, you sometimes do it and sometimes they just nail you right away, and sometimes they don't say anything, and sometimes they just walk away, and you gotta do something about that even, I guess. I don't know. You have to be led by the Lord for that.
what you just said is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be led by his Holy Spirit. And if we're led by his Holy Spirit, we'll be humble. Barry found that it was in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Okay, that's a good one. Dave, we're talking about, I got a word earlier, I was reading the Word of God in Mark 9 and 35 that says, if any man would be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all, which we've already talked about and figured out that what that was about. So we're just kind of expanding it and going into it a little bit more here.
I thought maybe you might have been reading out of one of David's books.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Has anybody got a verse that they have that they'd like to discuss? You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. I don't know if y'all know that or not. There's a lot of verses in the Bible. Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, brother.
Michael, Psalm 50, verse 12.
Psalm 30, verse 12.
50. Yep. Verse 12.
Verse 12.
Yep.
Okay.
Your opinion on why would the Lord say, if I were hungry, I would tell you not? Everything, the previous verse and verse after that, everything is the Lord. So why did he say it, if I were hungry? Just for interest sake?
Yeah, okay. Psalm 50 and 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Somebody want to give me some spiritual interpretation there? Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
Isn't it something like David has said before that God sits with, he has all the bargaining chips. We don't have anything we can bring to the table. So everything belongs to him. If he were hungry, we can't even offer him anything because it's all his. We have nothing to offer.
He got it all, hasn't he? Amen. All right, Missy, go ahead. What was you going to say?
Well, to add to that, you know, that was basically the gist of what I was going to say. Everything's his, like he says there, you know. And, you know, we go to him. He doesn't come to us and ask us for things, you know, in the, as if we could give him anything or do anything for him. He's already done it all. He just wants us to be vessels to do do his will through us, you know. There was something I was going to say and I lost my thought now. Oh, help me, Lord. I don't know if I hit it on or not, what I was thinking.
Well,
yes. I mean, we can't add anything to God. And, you know, he's done it all. It's his grace. You know, he's done it all. And we have nothing to give him, and he's done it all. And it's by his grace that, that we can be part of what he's done, you know, everything that he's done is for us. There's nothing more that can be done other than, you know, because what he wants is for us to be in his image, and according, you know, make us in the image of Jesus. And that's the whole purpose of everything. He's the one that's doing it all. He's already accomplished it all anyway. He sees the end mm-hmm. from the beginning. There's, with him, there is no time. So we're just entering into that. You know, it's kind of like you could talk about this, because it's, you know, there's all these ins and outs of it. But anyway.
What if we're going down to 14 and 15, he lances it. He said, offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Ask. That's all he wants us to do, is ask him and believe that he's going to fulfill what you ask him about. Yeah, Pam.
Yeah, it seems like the Lord was talking about gathering up his saints, all those who had made a covenant with him by sacrifice. And it seems like children of God had started treating the sacrifice, the sacrifices of God, as a something to appease an angry God, you know, maybe do this sacrifice to, you know, maybe that'll make him feel better or something like that. When, and it seems as though he was kind of correcting them, hear my people, and I'll testify to you, I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, and thy burnt offerings are continually before me. And I think he's basically saying, you're bringing me these sacrifices, yet you don't really know. You're trying to appease an angry God when those sacrifices are to point to a relationship with me. That if I were hungry, would I tell you? I can go out and get my own stuff, you know, with these sacrifices. No. What I want is for you to offer up to God the real sacrifice, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I'm even thinking back a second ago at my testimony when I called upon him and gave myself over to him and put it in his hand. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. If he delivers us, if we allow him and experience his deliverance of us, we shall automatically give praise to him and glorify him through the process. But it's as a result of the work that he did in us to deliver us. It's that personal relationship, to use a coined phrase in this day and age. It's not just offering up some sort of religious thing to get God off your back, or, you know, get, you know, make sure that the holy gods are aligned with you, type of thing. But no, it's to come into that relationship with God through the sacrifice of thanksgiving. giving thanks even in the midst of the trial. So anyway, it's all I had.
Okay, go ahead, Leah.
If we thought that God was hungry and he would tell us that, it would change our whole concept of who God was. He would become like us rather than not like us. And because we always complain, man, I'm hungry, you know, telling our friends, I'm hungry, let's go get something to eat or something like that. But that would change our whole concept of him, and he would no longer be can God do anything, or is it impossible for God to do anything? The answer would be yes, because now he gets hungry, so. Anyway, that's it.
Did you say, is it impossible for God to do anything? I
was misquoting that, yeah. Okay. What did he say to Mary?
Is anything too hard for God?
There you go.
Is anything too hard for God?
He's going to complain to us. Yeah, there is. Then that would no longer take effect.
Amen. Well, you know, that's true, Leah. Since I've been here, I don't put God in the box of doing anything, because that God can do anything. I've seen him do everything from healing whatever to moving the weather, changing the weather, to supernaturally getting people to places sooner than they were supposed to. You know, just all kinds of good stuff. So, yeah, go ahead, Dave. God is so big. My gracious.
One of the things that struck me today, I was reading Isaiah a little bit, and this kind of falls in line a little bit with what is going on there in Psalms 50. Was that 12? But the title of Psalms 50 is, what is that? God is Judge. Is that what it got on the very top? It was to say about God being the judge for Psalm. Anyways, in Psalm 50, if I go at Isaiah 8:11, what struck me was, fear God, wait on the Lord. And it says, for the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of the people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that the people calls conspiracy. And do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken, and they shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony and seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will be hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord have given me are for signs and for, it says, potents in Israel, for the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. So I see this where the Lord's saying, if I was hungry, why would I tell you? But he's also saying here that, hey, you got to fear me. Fear me, dread me. You know, I'm the Holy One here. And we don't have a concept of what that's all about. He's trying to give us that concept about who he is, and we're trying to prick that in our way of understanding. And the best way to do that is first to have the fear of the Lord. Then if we carry that, we'll have that respect and not go outside our element and think of God as like everybody else is saying, like a man. He's not a man. You know, he's something that he's beyond our understanding. And so if we can humble ourselves to that understanding in the first place before we go anywhere else with God, then it, like Job and everybody else, then he's able to, we're able to come and meet God where he's at. But then we start losing that concept and respect of God, That puts us in a very dangerous place.
Amen. You brought up something that triggered my memory of what Odin Hedrick said when he was up in heaven about the different glories that Jesus had to bring himself down to in order to meet people. They couldn't get close to him if he was in all his glory because of the sin that was in their life, you know. But it was just amazing to me about that. If we walked and saw Jesus himself in all his glory, we'd be struck dead. How many in here? Well, I ain't even going to ask that. Okay. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's wonderful to know the anointing that sometimes we get into. But if the full anointing of the Lord came down, it would kill us all. Remember the people, the Israelites, when they came up to the mountain? Man, they couldn't even get close to the mountain. No, Moses, you get on up there and mess with God. I ain't going up there with you because we'll die if we go up there. And Moses was the most humblest man in the world at the time. And that's what God likes. He likes humility. He likes humbleness. And if we're humble, we can just withstand that glory to be close to Jesus. How many of you want to be close to Jesus? Raise your hand. That's one you raise your hand on. That's the praise God forevermore. So that's what he wants you to see. He wants us to die to Michael. Michael's got to die. Let Jesus come alive. Okay. I think we're about out of time here. Anybody got one last thing before that? What is this? Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got a last request for prayer? How about I just pray for everybody? Okay. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We're touching on things now, Lord, that will bring us closer to you. And that's dying to ourselves and the world and start serving as you have instructed us to do and to get rid of self and what we want to do and start doing what you want us to do. Because we all, every one of us here and those that are listening on the broadcast, want to get closer to you, Lord. I want to, when it's time for me to, I just want to step from one thing into the next and be right there next to you, Lord. And help me to do that. Help my brothers and sisters to do that, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said to ask in my name and you shall have it. I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you get us all into that place of serving you and serving our brothers and sisters in a humble and meek way, Lord, that we're not anybody without you. We're not. We don't mean that we're worth nothing without you. But with you, we're worth everything. We're worth eternal life. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for the work that you're doing. Is use whatever method that you know is best for us to bring us into that realm of being close to you, Lord. We want to hear your voice at all times and be led by your Holy Spirit. Set a watch before our lips, Lord, to speak only as you would have us to speak. You said it as an oracle of God. That's you. And Father, we thank you for doing that. But place it in our heart to want to do that. Whatever it takes, Lord. Because I know when we do that, people are going to come against us, around us.
I know that. But Lord, we know with your help, with your guidance, we can do that, and we will affect lots and lots of people because of it. They'll see us, and they'll see that light shining in us, your light, Lord, shining in us. They'll want to know, I could have me some of that. And you'll be able to tell them, well, you can have it. It's free, and my God gives it to you freely. Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to anoint each and every one of us to do that in the days ahead. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Give us good dreams, good revelations of what's fixing to happen. And Lord, we thank you for that. I ask, Lord, that you bless every brother and sister that's in here tonight mightily, in whatever way that you know that they need, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Well, good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.